Good to have you here. Good to have visitors back with us this evening. And thank you for being here in the house of God. Good to see Miss Rooney here. And y'all keep her in prayer, what she's going through. That announcement I made this morning about the bus rider, RJ and Nathan, that was a grandmother that is adopted. It's not Miss Kathy. It's another grandmother. But pray for her as well. Miss Kathy's, it's a friend of the family that they call grandmother. So we still need to pray for them because kids grow close to people. And they weren't able to ride the bus this morning because of that difficulty in their life. And Brother Jim, we're going to have choir practice after? No? Okay. All right, let's get our calendar out. Everybody have a calendar, church calendar. We're going to go over it for the month of October. Now, it's a blessing to have these, but we need to use them. You know, they're good, but we don't print them just to put black ink on the paper. We print them so people can use them. So Sunday school teachers, help me out something. In these areas that have something to do with your class, announce it in your class. Make it known that, hey, there's something coming up, and you'd be blessed to be there and be part of that. And you help me put that out and keep it going, like as we go soul winning the third. Encourage the teens to be able to come out to soul winning. I mean, that's a blessing. We had them out yesterday and had a good crowd, but encourage them. That if they're able to come out and go be a witness for Christ, that's on the 3rd. And then on the 12th, we have our church picnic. So Sunday school teachers, especially this one, we have bus kids that may be interested in going. And we're willing to drive a bus and go get them and bring them to the picnic. But if you don't make it known to them that they can come, when they get in here, their mind is not really here. They're learning to behave in church. But when they're in your class, you've got their undivided attention. So you go over and say, hey, there's a church picnic coming up at 12. If you need a ride, let us know. We'll fix up the bus route and we'll get you there. Let your parents know it'll be from 12 to 5. So we'll pick you up around 11. Have you back home about 6. That's on the 12th. That's over Moss Park. And on the Sunday the 6th, there will be tickets printed up for you to have to present at the gate for parking. You know, it's $3 a car, so you'll give that ticket there, and they'll keep it up, and they'll give it to us at the end of the day, and we'll know how many parking we have to pay for there, over there. So don't pay. You'll have a ticket, Lock Haven Baptist Church, and you'll give that to them. And then the church will pick up that tab afterwards. On the 13th, here's another one. Beautiful girlhood afternoon. If you have any of those girls in your class, announce that. So, hey, encourage them. Even if they don't come, encourage that age. Maybe they'll get in, get involved, and do it. What's that age again? 13 to 19, 20? Invite them, tell them girls, hey, look, you'll enjoy that. Then on the 14th, we have our church-wide fast day. And we're not just buffeting our bodies so we can lose calories and pounds and inches on that day. We're fasting and asking God's continual blessings and guidance upon me. So, preacher, I'm diabetic. I cannot fast a whole day. Listen, you do what medically you can do, but you put your whole heart into it. And if you can't fast from food, even for a meal, fast from the TV or the radio. Fast from golf, fishing, something. Give up something for the Lord. That's what it's all about. So on the 17th, we have soul winning again. And don't forget, on Wednesday nights, we have our 6:30 teen and discovery club meeting all through the whole month, every Wednesday night, 6:30. That's another thing you at Sunday school teachers can invite and encourage and promote that age group. Say, look, there's junior clubs, there's teen clubs. We'll come by and get you. This last Wednesday, we had 18 on one bus, 13 on another, and we got 2 more riders coming this Wednesday. So encourage those kids. Hey, look, they're here. There's an opportunity for you. And then On the 19th, the teen progressive dinner. There's another thing that you can promote and get out there and let them know it. And then on the 21st, we have again the single volleyball tournament. We had almost 40 singles on that event. We had five different churches represented that came. So 40 singles came. So we're praying God will bless that. That's on the 21st. Then on the 26th, we have soul winning again, 9:45. And then you'll notice there's a junior teen Sunday school class activity. Now, Brother Scott will be getting in touch with his class and giving them the times and whatnot, where they got to meet on that day there. Use that day to invite some of your friends. Hey, some of your friends may not come to church, but they might come to that activity. Now listen, let Brother Scott know. Say, hey, Brother Scott, I've got two friends coming. So he knows how to plan. Then they come and see you having fun with your group, get to know somebody, and then you have opportunity to invite them to the Sunday school class there on the 26th. 27th, nursing home ministry, going out there over at Consulate on the 27th. Then the 29th, Lock Haven Scripture Press work night. And on that note, be in prayer, because in January we have Scripture Day and we need to start praying now. Lord, what would you have me to give toward paper that we might print more scriptures next year? You know, last year our offering went up to $9,000 on that day. And our tithes and offerings didn't go down at all. Our missions given didn't go down at all. So you start praying now. Lord, what would you have me to give on Scripture Day? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the 21st of January. But anyway, it's the third, fourth Sunday there. I'll get more information on it. But start praying now. Lord, what can I give to print Scripture that we might be able to distribute it from our church? I mean, God's given it to our church. It's our ministry. So we have to be very, very excited about it. Now, the Lord has blessed it. The first year we did Scripture Day, 4 years ago, we had 3,000, then 5,000, then 7,000, then 9,000. The Lord just keeps blessing because people get excited. You know, work nights, we're having 25, 35 folks show up to bind and to print, staple Scripture on those nights and just put it to prayer. Lord, what can I do? And the Lord will show you. He will show you. Any questions on the calendar? All right, Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2 this evening. Next 3-4 Sunday evenings, we're going to talk about getting folks to Jesus. Getting folks to Jesus. It's important. I mean, the Lord has blessed our church over these last 5 years tremendously. But we cannot be satisfied with the status quo of just, well, we've got folks coming. We've got Sunday school classes growing. And so I'm just satisfied with that. Oh, no. We need to get to the point where we split some of our Sunday school classes and start another one. We've got plenty of property around here. Lord's blessed our church and our church property. We have 11 buildings here that we can use for the glory of God. And we're using them. You know, we had the Bible clubs over here in the one building. Now we've moved them over to the big church over there, the third church that was built on the property. And that's what God desires for us to do. He didn't give us buildings to sit around and rust and decay. Not at all. Matter of fact, you go into the scripture, you find there when King... I believe it was Josiah, found the house of God in shambles. He run across the word of God. It disturbed him mightily. Mightily. And we can't live in the past. We have to have a vision for the future. Good crowd here tonight, by the way. Thank you. Well, you encouraged, preacher. You really did tonight, showing up and being here and being in your place. And be in prayer for those that didn't come back. Let them know, hey, we have a good time around here on church night and Wednesday night too. So you are our best promoters. You are. If you're sour, man, we got to come back to church on Sunday night. Well, I wish we'd cancel it. Well, no wonder nobody would want to come back. God, hell, who'd want to be around that? We've got to be positive about this thing. After all, being saved is positive. Amen. Going to heaven and meeting with God on Sunday evening, Sunday, Wednesday night, being in His presence is positive. So you be positive about it. Promote up the church and talk it up and talk good about it. And say, hey, listen, I'm tired. I'm wore out on Wednesday night, but Lord, I get to go over there and be around God's people. And when I get done, man, I'm still tired, but I'm glad I went. We ain't got no youth fountain around here you can dip your feet in on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you're going to be tired on when you leave on Wednesday, but it's well worth it. It's well worth it. So we're going to talk the next couple of Sunday evenings about getting folks to Jesus because He's the answer. Now, I could perhaps offer you a question. Do you know anybody who needs Jesus? But everybody knows somebody who needs Jesus. And we know some folks, to be honest, we know some folks that need Jesus. They don't even realize they need Jesus. I mean, they're good. They're moral. They're good. They're good, good folks to be around. But if they was to die, they'd spend eternity in hell. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? So I'm going to give you one point tonight because I want to go nuts after church. One point tonight with three little old sub-points and we're going to be done. First thing we're going to talk about is the presence of Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And again, he entered in Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now, if our great example is the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He had gathered up a crowd, a multitude in the house, and He preached the Word, think there's something about it. There's a famine in our land for the Word. The other day I saw an advertisement. Matter of fact, not even too long ago, somebody sent me one. It went into file 13. If you don't know, that's the garbage can. They asked me to close up our church on a service night, drive our bus over to their church so that we could hear Tim Hawkins during church time. Now, I'm listening. I'm not against comedy. All of you know, often I make some kind of funny and I don't even realize it's just my nature. Just how I am. You know, Southern people are that away. We're funny without even realizing. Everything's funny. Everything. We're just joyful people. But nowhere on there did it offer that it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 minutes, would there be the preaching of the Word of God take place on a church night. And we wonder why our people are hurting. Hey, Tim Hawkins has his place. Funny guy. What's wrong with having him on a Monday night? What's wrong with a Friday night? Why would they want to close up their church and ask other people to close up their church and come over to hear Tim Hawkins on a Sunday evening? I tell you why, because a lot of folks have closed up their Sunday evening services. And they don't have them. Don't have them at all. Praise God for the opportunity to be in His house and be around the things of God. So we're going to talk about the presence of Jesus tonight. The presence of Jesus. Look at verse 1 again. And again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that He was in the house. You know, over on the book of Revelation over there, when it's talking about the seven churches over in Asia, there's one of those churches and it says this phrase. It said, I stood at the door and knocked. He wasn't in the house. He wasn't in the house. So we're talking about the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Here's subpoint number one. The reality of His presence. Do you understand that there is no place in this whole world that you and I can go that Jesus isn't? That's reality. I mean, no. Do you understand? Everything I watch on TV, Jesus is watching it with me. Every book I read, Jesus sitting right alongside of me there in my presence, and He's reading that book. Every conversation I have and I listen to and I have, the reality of it, dear friend, is this. Jesus is with us. He said to us as His children, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He was in the house. His presence is real. And I think sometimes we get so nonchalant, so apathetic about Jesus that we don't realize that when we get into the car and we sit down in the car, I'll just be honest with you, I had to take a deep breath today. I had to call some customer service today. I was a little bit bothered. I went over to the Walgreens, just to help you out. I went over to the Walgreens right over here to buy some gift cards for tonight's gift for the competition. Some little gifts. Walked in there with the, took them to the counter. The lady said, you can't buy them with that credit card. I said, ma'am, personally, I don't own a credit card, but this is the church's credit card. It's not mine. I don't have one. She said, you can't buy those things with a credit card. You can pay cash with it or you can buy. I said, why? She said, because of fraud. I said, can I buy that Gatorade right there? She said, yes. With that same credit card? She said, yes. But I can't buy this with that. I said, okay. Praise God for it. So I just got in the truck and drove on down to the next Walgreens on BVL. Walked in, and I asked the man, I said, sir, can I buy this here? Yeah, you can buy anything. You can buy anything in there. I said, with a credit card? Yeah, no problem. Same gift cards. I said, well, thank you, sir. I placed them back. I got in my truck and drove to CVS. While I was on the driving, I called Walgreens corporate office. I said, ma'am, I really am disturbed. And I want you to understand something. I'm a pastor of a church, so I'm not going to get irate, though I want to in the flesh, because you might want to visit our church one day. So I'm going to be real civil. I drove over not even a mile from our church to get a gift for a little promotion we're having at our church tonight. And the Walgreens, 2900 Boggy Creek Road, would not sell me a gift card using the church credit card. Is there a reason why that? She said, well, I don't think so. It's not our policy. I said, I didn't think so either because I drove a mile down the road. I'm in line at CVS too. I drove a mile down the road and at seven miles down the road to another Walgreens. And I went in there and asked that manager and he said, no, that ain't our policy. You can buy whatever you want in here with a credit card as long as it's your credit card and you have an ID to prove it's yours. I said, thank you. I said, ma'am, I put it down. I'm going to cross the street. I'm at CVS. Would you like to talk to the guy here at the cash register, see where I'm at? No, sir. Do you want to talk to me? I said, no, I done talked to two managers. My only recourse is to shop somewhere else. I said, by the way, is this thing being recorded? She said, yeah, it's being recorded. I said, this is a good conversation to play at y'all's next training meeting. She said, why? I said, because I've driven 8 miles one way, 8 miles back out of my way when y'all built a Walgreens right in our backyard and we can't even use it. Listen, how many times you called somebody and got irate? Jesus was on that conversation with you. He was on the phone with you. Now, a week ago when I wasn't preparing for this message, I might have got a little, you know, rough. Lord, hope not. The reality is this. Jesus is always with us. The next thing we need to understand is I think we do not recognize His presence. You know what the Bible says there in verse number 1? And it was noised that He was in the house. There was an old farmer one day. His son was getting on up to marrying age, and he was a very religious, devout man, went to church, served God, loved God, was humble, and raised his kids that way. And his son went and got married, fixed up the house, was excited, going to invite Dad over. Invited Dad over to look at his new house, proud. Began to show his dad all around, the whole house. What'd you think, Dad? Well, son, I guess it's okay, the old farmer said. I suppose it's all right. He said, well, Dad, what do you mean? He said, I don't know, son. I've been through this whole house and ain't nothing in here showed me or told me that Jesus is here. That young man went the next day, made sure that anybody and everybody that came into his house again knew that Jesus was there. I wonder how many times in our own lives when folks are around us, do they recognize the presence of Jesus is there? I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus in me, the hope of glory. I wonder if they walked around our life and began to look in our life and in the closets of our life, and then would they recognize the presence of Jesus in our life? I wonder if we would be honest with ourselves and be like the young man and go and correct that. Because I'm telling you, there's areas in my life daily. Sometimes I do a little self-searching investigation. I say, whoo, man, if somebody got next to me, they wouldn't think I was Jesus was near me. They wouldn't think for a minute that, well, preacher, you're a preacher. And it gets out of the way, yes, I'm a man of flesh. My attitude, my complacency, my apathy, my disgruntled figure, and my composition of my makeup. Listen, I'm on my way to heaven. When people get around me, they need to recognize the presence of Jesus. The reality is that He's with us. But can people recognize it? Thirdly, the results of His presence. Verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together. You know, the Bible says over in John chapter number 12, it says that if I be lifted up above earth, in between earth and heaven, below heaven, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It is the very presence of Jesus that is appealing to a lost sinner. It's not the entertainment that we can come up with. We can never, ever outdo Disney World. Why in the world would we even compete with a secular company? Do you understand? Entertainment is for entertainment. The house of God is for spiritual growth. For the work of the ministry, we may build ourselves up that we may be able to lift Jesus higher. So there should be no competition between us. And listen, Disney has its place. SeaWorld has its place. Everybody needs a rest, a vacation. They need to go, jump on a merry-go-round, a roller coaster. I mean, everybody needs to be sick every now and then. Pay to go get turned upside down on a roller coaster. God help. I mean, we pay to have a whale jump up in the air and splash us with water. $80, we just go give money to be splashed. Lord, let it rain out here a little bit. I'll go flop off in that little mud hole out there and splash you for $80. If you just want to be splashed. Yeah, I'm likening myself to a whale. It's how it works. We went to teen camp this past summer. Brother Victor and I jumped off in that little water pool thing, and I'm telling you, that skinned my knees up so bad. It's a water jet spray, and it was worse than a 3,200-pound pressure spray washer. I mean, threw me up there, hurt my toes. I had a bruise on my toe for about 6 weeks. They have their place. Entertainment has its place. Golf courses and things of that nature. But dear friend, when it comes to the house of God, we need to consciously lift up Jesus. Why would you say that, preacher? Because, dear friend, you think about it in the Bible. Moses was running around the desert chasing these sheep and following these sheep because his father-in-law had hooked him with a daughter. He had to please old daddy-in-law. So he's following around here, there, thinking about, man, when I get home, get me a shower, get me some good food, spend the evening with my wife, and I'll get rid of these goats. There was bushes all over the desert. But he was drawn to one bush. A burning bush. There's churches all over Orlando and Orange and Osceola County, dear friend. Unless we lift up Jesus, they're not going to be drawn to our church. Tourists used to come through Jerusalem and Jericho and all the travels, businessmen, but they always made a trip by Jacob's well. Who was at Jacob's well? Jesus met that lady who had 6 failed marriages. You know, I was thinking the other day, one of my preacher friends told me, he said, if I had someone show up for visitation, for outreach, for community outreach, listen, I'm all for it. We got to have it. We've got to reach our community. We've got to get out there, and we've got to put Christ forward. But he asked this, he told me, he didn't ask me, he said, if someone shows up and they're not properly dressed, I ask them to go home. I thought, wow. And I said, why? He said, because they're ambassadors. I agree with that. We are ambassadors. We should look our best and sharpest, and when we go out, we ought to represent well. But this here passage of Scripture came to my mind. And I told him this. I said, listen, you got to do what you got to do. But I got folks that dress modest, sharp, and they ain't showing up. If they come out there looking halfway right, me and them going together, 2x2. That's just how I feel about it. Because I'm telling you, it's not on the outside. It's the Lord Jesus on the inside that's going to make the difference on the outside. And he sent that old lady back up, that lady back up in there, and she went in there. Not one time do we read in the Scriptures that he rebuked her. She went and told all men everything he had said. And they didn't come because of her. They come to see Jesus. Dear friend, when I was looking to get saved, My wife and I were soldiers. I was a soldier in the Army. I was living like I didn't have a wife. I mean, I'd come home and spend some time, but I was young and dumb and full of ignorance. And I did things that I shouldn't. I didn't act like a husband, to be honest with you. Did not. But my wife and I began to think, if we're going to make this work, there's got to be some outside force to keep us together. We got to have somebody to lasso us up. So we started looking, Brother Graham. I went to Catholic churches, Pentecostal churches. I went to cathedrals. I mean, they had chandeliers cost more than anything I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, there was huge. I went to huge churches, huge crowds, little crowds, big crowds, but there was something about it. Whenever I got over there to Cornerstone there, and I walked in that double wide trailer, they had little 2x4 poles sticking in the middle. I mean, there was, you had to sit just right, if not, because he moves a lot like I do. I mean, he's just moving back and forth. And I mean, you was like this, all looking around poles, trying to find, if it rained and you sit in the wrong spot, you got a shower. But I'm going to tell you, when I left from there, I knew that Jesus was real. Piano, listen, they play the piano, and that old piano had about 4 or 5 keys that would stick. That's why I can't sing today. That's why I learned to sing hymns. They're sticking. Yesterday when I went out with them teenagers out there witnessing, we stopped over there waiting on my wife, and I was sitting there, my head over my over the wheel, and I was getting a little bit tired and began to think, Lord, help us. And I started singing Amazing Grace, Oh Rugged Cross. And my problem is I can't remember all the words. So I just throw in some words. When I get to a part I don't know, I make it up. I just keep going. Well, they were recording it behind my head. Playing it back, making fun. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's not the altar, it's not the buildings, it's the Jesus we serve that's going to be appealing to folks. The presence of Jesus. In verse 1, He was in the house. Is He in our house? Is He in us, this old tabernacle, this old clay body? Is He in our home? Is He in our church? He was in the house. He was in the house. And it was a reality that He was there. How do we know? It was Noah's the broad. People recognized His power. They gathered up together. Bible says in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. The results, dear friend, if we lift Jesus up, He will gather people to Him. Not our soloists, not our choir, not our pianists, not our property. Thank God for what He's done for us. He's blessed us, but it is not this facility. It is the facilitator, Jesus, that's going to make a difference. How are we going to get folks to Jesus? We got to realize His presence is real. Recognize His presence in ourselves and in others. And when two or three are gathered together, there He will be also. And then people will start seeing that, and they'll be drawn to that. And the results of the presence of Jesus is He does the gathering. We realize we're just laborers together, working with Him. Be honest, He don't need us. He talked through a rooster to Peter. Balaam had a donkey. And I know some of you probably think sometimes I'm a donkey. But you get over it after a while. Come back for some more. But I'm going to tell you, he don't need us, but he desires to use us. That's how we're going to get people to Jesus. Next week we'll finish up, probably the week after. Let's stand to our feet.